A grey, white and blue caption. Abbott Vision. UK Film Council awarding funds from the National Lottery. Abbott Vision and the UK Film Council present an Abbott Vision production. Early evening, a middle-aged man walks heavy-footed along a road beside a London street market that's packing up. Tony. He wears black trousers and a three-quarter-length black coat. He has slicked back dark brown hair and a bowl haircut, neatly shaved around his neck and ears. Pale and gaunt, he has a long straight nose, a neat moustache and wears wire-framed spectacles. Tony wears a solemn expression as he walks with his arms hanging limply at his sides. He passes piles of boxes and rubbish by the market stalls. Daylight is fading. Tony turns onto a road by Dalston Kingsland station and heads along the pavement. Tony lives in an austere, dirty grey tower block. Wearing a stripy brown dressing gown, he pours cornflakes into a bowl and sits in front of a small TV eating them. In the film playing on the TV, a man looks through the sights of a sniper's rifle and aims at a man who's running. The red laser dot from the rifle's sights rests on the back of the running man's head. Tony stares at the screen. The sniper shoots. The running man drops dead with blood on his face. Tony continues eating his cornflakes. Wearing a white shirt and with his trousers around his ankles, Tony sits on the toilet flicking through a girly magazine. He rests the centerfold of a reclining beauty on his lap and wipes his bum. He holds up the picture for a closer look. Tony walks under a bridge along the towpath beside a canal. To his right is a boarded-up building. On a street, a hoarding has "Dalston, who asked you?" daubed on it. A Korean man stands by a grubby wall holding a handful of DVDs. Tony walks up to him.
"Hello, are you alright?"
The man ignores Tony.
"I haven't got a DVD player, I've only got a video recorder, I'm afraid."
Tony shifts about and frowns awkwardly. The man keeps his eye on the passers-by.
"You should sell videos. If you had any action films on video, I'd buy them from you."
The man holds out a DVD. Tony stands right next to him.
What do you think's better, karate or kung fu?"
The man continues to ignore Tony, who shifts on his feet and gives a short, sharp wave of the hand.
"I'll see you then. Might see you tomorrow."
In a pub, Tony buys a Coke and a bag of crisps with change. A couple sit arguing.
"Yeah, I know what this place is. No, you mind sitting there. Your mum."
"Oh, I wonder when she was going to
Sorry.
Really, don't listen to anything I'm saying. All you're doing is watching my lips moving, but you're not taking it or listening to what I'm saying."
"Don't fucking talk patronising to me.
Oh, see what I mean?
If you was a fucking geezer, I'd stick that right in your fucking face."
"Oh, that's all you can resolve to.
Yeah, it is all I can
fucking. That's all you know.
Sound like your fucking mum, that's all you sound like."
"I didn't want me too long before she was dressed."
"Yeah, why not? She's fucking rum to everyone down her fucking road anyway."
"This is about me and you. It's nothing to do with my mother."
"No, it's not just about me and you. It's about me and you and little Davy. And I'll tell you something else. You want to get this in your fucking nut. If I walk out, right, little Davy's coming with me."
"Oh, no, he's all right where he is.
I don't fucking think so. Do you know that cunt over there keeps staring fucking..."
He points at Tony.
"That Nancy-faced cunt there."
"No, I don't know who he is.
No.
And can you please concentrate on me?
I am concentrating.
This is my argument, Paul. You're never taking what I want or what I'm saying."
"What is this bollocks about you need space?" "You think I don't know what that means? Lisa, I'm fucking stupid."
"It means I want space.
Yeah, do you know what I think? Do you know what I fucking think it means? I think it means you've got a geezer. That's what I think it means. I ain't fucking stupid. You better tell me. You've got someone, haven't you?"
"You're not listening to me."
"Yeah, I fucking am listening."
"No, you're not listening to me."
Here he goes again.
"What?
Do you fucking know my old woman? Do you fucking know my old woman, you cunt?
Leave him alone?
Yeah? What's all the fucking staring about? Are you Nazi faced cunt? Yeah, sorry, I'm fucking sorry, eh? Do you fucking know?
Paul, fuck off!
Get your hands off!
Hold on,
get that cunt out of here!
I will!
Get that cunt out of here if I'm fucking losing my temper!
Calm down, I'll get him out, right? Calm down, right?
Is that him, is it?
Get out!
Is that him? If I see you again, cunt, I'll break your fucking neck, do you understand me?"
The barman throws Tony out onto the street with his shopping. He picks up a carrier bag of groceries and a bag of cat litter and trudges off. At his flats, Tony goes to the lift at the bottom of a stairwell. He presses the call button. The silver door slides open and he steps inside. The lift door closes. In his flat, Tony watches a violent film. In a shootout, a man slumps down next to a woman covered in blood. Tony stares at the screen, captivated. At the base of a tower block, a tubby kid kicks a ball against a wall. The woman from the pub, Lisa, walks up.
Oi, Davey, you're coming in 20 minutes for your dinner.
What are we having?
Nuggets.
Oh, do we have to?
Yes, we do have to, and don't be so cheeky. Do you hear me, Davey?
Yes, okay.
Good, now don't be long.
Tony appears at the end of the path and watches Davey, who keeps kicking the ball. It rolls over to Tony, and he picks it up. Davey goes over and grabs it. Tony attempts a smile.
Do you like football?
Yeah.
What team do you support?
West Ham.
West Ham?
Yeah.
I like West Ham.
Tony walks alone with his head bowed past a red brick block of flats. He passes a sign with a map on it. Haggerston Estate is printed at the top. Some of the windows on the flats are blocked out with orange panels. Tony walks past a closed-down pub with paint peeling off the brown-tiled walls. In a phone box by a small park, he dials the number on a card with a picture of a busty girl on it. He waits.
Hello? Yeah, I'm looking at your card in the telephone box. Do you have the girl in the card? No. What girls do you have on this evening? What are her sizes?
The wall is covered in girls' calling cards.
34 double D, is that like a pre-op? Is that, she had like, are they real? What's that? She's a transsexual? What does a bubble bath consist of?
A couple of pasty-faced lads are outside.
And waterworks, what happens?
We need to use the phone, mate. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Excuse me, you ain't got any fucking change on you, have you? Because our car's broke down up the road and we ain't got no money for petrol. Ah, blinding, mate. Thank you very much, mate.
Tony stares at them as one of them makes a call.
Can I have that, mate?
That'll
work.
Yeah.
Alright,
sweet
love, you're a
blinder. You're trying to buy drugs? What? You're trying to buy drugs? If you're buying drugs, I'd like to buy some. I'll do a bit of smack.
Who wants to buy some?
Well,
mate, what have you got?
Who wants
on
to
you,
buy
yeah?
some?
What have you got on you? Come on, we've got a cocker on us.
What
do you want to get? A bit of gear,
yeah? Yeah, I'll have a bit of gear.
A bit of gear, blinding, mate, lovely. Sweet, we're live now, man. We're fucking live, aren't we? We're bloody live, mate. We're live. Hey, what's happening, mate? It's Mackie. You got anything? Yeah? We'll have a little deal with you, yeah? Alright, I'll be about half hour.
Mackie walks with a crutch.
What's happening? What's going on here?
Come in, yeah. I've got some money. Can I come in, yeah?
Alright, we're going, but where are you from?
Dalston.
Oh, fucking hell, mate. It's meant to be, innit? It's meant to be, mate.
Come
out mine
tonight, I'll buy some
beer. Blinded, yeah. I was there on our feet. What's your name, mate? Right, I'm Mackie, mate. Nice to meet you.
Is this
Smudge?
Hello, Tony.
Come on, I'm fucking hell, what we do? Right, they do a lot of deal with us, right? I might be able to get through for a score, so I'm going to talk to them over again, yeah?
Okay.
Tony, Mackie and Smudger shamble off together. Smudger darts to another payphone and feels in the refund compartment for change. The threesome walk past a boarded-up Art Deco cinema. Smudger points towards a derelict building and vaults over a railing. Mackie clambers over after him. Tony makes the leap, but tumbles to the ground.
You all right, Tom? Fucking hell, mate, you all right? Come on, get up. Come on, he's fucking gone over.
He's mate.
You all right, mate? Come on, it's only up here, bro.
Smudger bashes on a steel sheet covering a door.
Bang, mate. Get up. Bang, mate. I think it might be open. It might be open.
That's it.
Yeah, sweet. Room, Tom. Come on, son.
Wait here.
Come on, come in, mate.
Come on, here. Come on,
here.
Fucking watching you.
Don't come on, dog.
In a dingy room, a couple of lads are smoking crack.
What's happening, boys? What's happening?
What do you want?
Shut up, you cunt. Hey,
where's Peter?
Fucking here, is he?
Does he look like he's here?
What's happening? Have we invited to your party or what? Come on.
It's up.
Share the love. Share the fucking love, man.
Who's
he?
Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's
he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's
he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's
he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's
he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he? Who's he?
Who's he? A guy sits next to a couch where a girl's lying under a sheet.
A fresh cunt, innit?
Alright, how you doing? You alright, mate? You
alright? Sweet, isn't it?
This is Tony, Pecker.
Hello.
Alright, mate.
You wanna do that thing for us then? The 2-3 for a score, is that alright?
Listen, man, I'll do it this time, but next time it's the ponies,
I'll
mate?
Be alright, sweet, lovely.
Hey, that last bit of gear was shit, though, come on, mate.
Shut up, you keep coming back for it, don't you?
Listen, mate, we only come to you, we don't go nowhere else, you know what I mean, mate?
Alright, well done.
Lovely, brother.
Cheers.
Sweet, lovely.
What's that ugly fucking mommy git looking at, for fuck's
sake? Yeah, fuck him,
anyway. Come here, mate.
No, he's alright. Whoa, no, Pet, he's alright, mate. He's with me.
Would you like to see her, do you? Do you like to see her?
No.
She's been bled, mate. She's been fucking bled. Listen here. What's wrong with those bleeders who call themselves leaders? Those sick, weak, perverted men and women. And surely you and I shall always spot them. I'll tell you why. For they are clothed with the spoils of war. They're warmongers, paedophiles. Hello? Now fuck up, you fucking band and fucking reprobates. Go on,
yeah,
fuck
off. It's a poem, Tom. Don't worry about it, mate. They're having a giggle with you. See you later, Pick, mate. Nice one for that, brother.
Tony heads down the street with Mackie and Smudger, who both wear dark, crumpled jeans. Mackie wears a blue sweatshirt, and Smudger wears a grubby hoodie top. Mackie stops to pick up a fag butt from the pavement. Holding a carrier bag of beers, Tony leads the lads into his flat.
Make yourself a... It's the bar room on the right.
Yeah, no, what's that smell, Tony, mate? All right, the cut of the windows, I say, yeah, mate?
Fuck, yeah, what a
shit-out this is, eh? That's all right, it's like an old people's gaff, isn't it? Like old decor. You know what I mean?
I'm not old. And it's a tinfoil.
Yeah, I guess that
works. Foil. Yeah, tinfoil.
Yeah, so anyway, why the old Bill's knocked on the door, yeah?
Yeah.
So Frankie's gone bosh, 3 stories up, landed on his legs, shattered both his kneecaps, he still tried to get up and run away, mate.
Black cat. That's all the foil I've got. I'm
that's
saying
it's mate, sandwiches. That's blinding, brother. That's alright, mate, thanks.
Do you want a beer then?
Yeah, go on then, yeah, I'll have a beer. Yeah, we'll all have a beer, right?
Beers.
As Mackie tears off a strip of tinfoil, Tony goes to the kitchen. He opens a can and pours beer into a glass and it froths up. He pours some of the froth away down the sink.
I fucking need a bit of this, mate. Everyone, buy it. I'm clucking, boy.
Tony puts the can on the table.
There's a beer there.
Cheers, Tom.
He offers the glass to Smudger.
Fuck off, Bill. You're putting the beer over me.
Whoa, what's the matter?
He's putting the beer over me, mate. What's the matter with you?
Come on, mate. Come on, let's all just fucking chill out, eh? Let's just relax and have a bit of fitness.
Ah, what are you fucking doing?
Don't put feet on the table.
Dude, don't touch my fucking foot, mate. I broke that fucking foot.
Sorry.
God.
Do you want some beans on toast?
Nah, what are you talking about?
Make some food. I'm just...
I don't want nothing, mate. I'm all right.
Mate, don't get mad.
So I put a film on, I've got plenty of action films. I've got no reception, but I've got plenty of action films. Schwarzenegger, Steven Seagal, Chuck Norris. I've got Jean-Claude Van Damme. I've got his first films.
Yeah.
I've got like No Retreat, No Surrender.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got two as well. He's not in that, but he's in the first
three.
One.
How about four?
Can't
what
get
about
three.
Five?
Oh, you've been silly now.
About six, you got that one?
Oh, you've been silly. Enemy Territory, you seen that one? That's really good. About the vampire gang in the block of flats. You seen that one?
A video box.
About Double Revenge, seen that? Seen it?
In fact, I told you, don't put things in my face, mate. Don't fucking put things in my face.
Oh, don't
put them in my
wait,
face.
Wait, let's all just fucking like...
Don't throw my film. Good job it's not in there. If it was in there, you'd have to pay for it.
Yeah, you're fucking in that pan for it, cunt. I told you.
Well, come on, let's just chill out, and relax a little. Let's all have a bit of gear and relax, eh? Fucking all this madness. We all need to just... Just take a breather, alright?
About Cocaine Wars with John Snyder from Dukes of Hazzard.
That'll do, just get that on, eh? We ain't too worried about the films.
I'm giving me that.
Alright, I'm doing it, mate, aren't I? Nice drop of wallop.
Smudger scratches himself. Mackie crumbles heroin onto a length of foil. He coughs and blows the foil.
What about?
Oh, mate,
what's
that, mate? It's alright, sweet. Here we go.
What about me having a bit of that? smack. I mean, I did put £10 towards
it. No time, don't worry, mate. You're going to get a bit, right? I promise you, you're going to get a bit, didn't I? Right. We need it, mate, you know what I mean? We're clacking, boy. We're clacking here. You get a bit of wallet, don't worry.
So I just have a beer then, yeah?
Yeah, sure, go get yourself a beer. Chill out.
With a fag in his mouth, Mackie heats up the foil with a smack on it with a lighter. Wafts of smoke rise and he inhales. Smudger fidgets and scratches his head.
That's it, mate, that's the jackpot. That's the one.
Tony stands in front of them holding a can of beer.
I'm gonna load that up, mate. There's a bit on there. Oh, that's a nice bit, that's better, mate. That's better than that other one.
Tony reaches for the foil.
Rocco!
I'm trying to boot up.
What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?
It's not done like that, son, mate. You wait your turn. You're going to get a bit, son.
There's not going to be any left. There's hardly anything left.
You know, we've got a load of it, mate. We've got three there. We've got a load of it. Right? Calm down. You get your turn, right?
Right, okay. Just sit down.
Tony sits as Smudger inhales.
Give us another go, okay?
Tony sits staring at them. Smudger lounges in the blue armchair drinking his beer. Perched on the edge of the sofa, Mackie inhales another lungful of smack. His eyes narrow woozily.
Right, son.
Tony flicks the ring pull on his can. Tony stares blankly at the boys. Smudger sits with his head lolled forward and his eyes closed. Tony gets up and leaves the room. On the small TV, a young couple dance at a disco. A pretty girl spins and swishes her long blonde curly hair about. A handsome young guy smiles and shimmies back and forth. Both Smudger and Mackie are dozing. Tony rushes back in with a white carrier bag and a reel of tape. His face is white, as if he's covered it in stage makeup. He goes behind Smudger, puts the plastic bag over Smudger's head, and binds it tightly around his neck with the wide black tape. Smudger comes to and flails his arms. Tony holds him down. Smudger's mouth gapes and the plastic clings tightly as he tries to breathe.
Stay still. Stay still. Stay still.
Tony leans over Smudger from behind and holds him down as he struggles. Tony calmly smooths the plastic over Smudger's face as the life drains out of him. Mackie slumped on the sofa with his eyes closed. Tony sits straight backed next to him, breathing heavily. Mackie opens his eyes woozily. He looks at Tony's white face.
Slap your face.
Tony shrugs dismissively and stares. Mackie follows his gaze.
Where's Smudge?
Oh, he's having a little lie down. He's not well.
Tony's chest heaves. He looks down at Mackie confidently.
I don't want to kill no more. I could have killed you. In town, you're the law. Out here, it's me. Don't push it. Don't push it. I'll give you all you won't believe. Let it go. Let it go.
Mackie looks blank.
Seen it? First blood.
Tony smiles fondly. The smile quickly drains from his face and he looks serious and thoughtful, his brow pinched. Mackie rests his head against Tony's shoulder and dozes. Smudger sits dead on the sofa, the bag around his neck. Tony drags another dead young man in and sits him down. Tony sits between the pair, who are semi-naked.
Simon, Smudger.
Tony watches telly.
When I work, I don't leave loose ends.
Mackie's in a cupboard peering through a gap at Tony, who looks back at him. The door is secured with wire.
You don't need him. I do.
Tony, man, you know me, man. Tony, please listen to me. Look, listen to me, man. You know me, man. I ain't fucking nothing. No one, right? I ain't gonna say nothing. No one.
Tony jabs at Mackie with his crutch.
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Oh, my God, right? Please. Let me just fucking go, man. I ain't gonna say nothing to no one. I swam, right? I am swam.
Stop it. Be quiet.
What the fuck? Please. Please, let me just fucking go, man.
Tony sits down. Mackie pulls the wire away, opens the door, bursts out of the cupboard and runs to the front door. Mackie opens the door and finds a wrought iron security gate which he grabs onto desperately. He sinks down as Tony calmly walks up and unlocks the gate.
Tony, I'm not getting me. I'm fucking sorry, Tony. I'm not getting me.
Tony opens the gate and Mackie runs off.
See you later.
Mackie sprints away and Tony calmly pulls the gate shut. He shuts the front door. A few dim ceiling lights glow on a walkway in Tony's block of flats. Static fills the screen on Tony's small TV. He takes a tape from the video recorder below the TV and shakes it. He puts the tape back in the machine and presses play. A grainy image appears on the screen. Tony presses eject and takes out the tape. He stands. Some of the tape is unwound from the cassette. He throws it against the wall. Tony flops into the armchair and stares at the static. A blue-black, cloudy sky hangs over London. Lights on tall buildings twinkle in the dark. A train passes. Tony walks along a quiet street. Two people on a motorcycle ride past. Tony crosses a zebra crossing. He heads through a road tunnel with stark white strip lights on the curved walls. He glances round as he goes. A pub stands on a ramshackle street, the Joiner's Arms. Its yellow and blue frontage stands out against the dowdy buildings on either side. Tony goes in. The pub is packed with fit young men. Tony looks out of place in his black coat as he heads to the bar. The men mostly wear tight t-shirts and bop around to the music. Tony buys a drink. Tony counts out his money, then glances around. He gets his drink and turns, looking tense. The good-looking guys don't take any notice of Tony as he passes between them. Tony sits with his back to the wall and looks around, bewildered, at the dancing throng. A guy beside Tony bends and twists and waves his arms, lost in the music. Tony continues to survey the scene. A flock of birds swoops back and forth in the grey morning sky. Tony's tower block is a long, grey brutalist building. In Tony's grimy bedroom, the corpse of a man with dark mottled skin is sitting up in the bed. Tony lies under crumpled bedclothes next to the corpse. Beside the bed is a chair. On the floor is a table lamp with no shade. A bare bulb burns brightly.
Morning.
Tony, wearing a t-shirt, underpants and his stripy dressing gown, wearily sits up, reaches down and switches off the lamp. He rubs his hand over his face and turns to the corpse.
Do you want a cup of tea? And some breakfast. I'll make some breakfast.
Tony picks up his glasses and puts them on. He checks the time on his watch, which he puts back on the chair. He pushes back the covers and puts on a pair of slippers. Tony gets up, carefully pulls the covers up to the corpse's midriff, pulls his dressing gown around himself and leaves the room. In his kitchen, Tony holds up some bloody internal organs and hacks them to pieces with a butcher's knife. He saws through a sinewy cord. He holds up a glistening red lung and lays it on a sheet of newspaper. He adds a heart and another lung, then wraps them up in the paper, like a pile of butcher's meat. Tony puts the wrapped organs in a blue plastic carrier bag. There are more internal organs in Tony's sink. Liver, kidneys, stomach. He holds them up. Blood drips from them as he continues to hack them into smaller pieces with his long knife. He puts the glistening crimson offal in newspaper and wraps it up. Sunlight shines through a roller blind in the kitchen window. Tony grabs another blue plastic bag and puts the wrapped offal in it. Tony holds up the two bags of organs to take their weight. Tony carries a bag of organs along the towpath by the canal. He stops under a bridge and looks down into the water. Tony squats down, glances from side to side, and drops the bag of offal into the dark water. The blue bag bobs on the surface and floats away, gentle waves lapping against it. Tony walks through the market. He passes a butcher's and a bag stall, then goes to another butcher's. He stops by some large plastic trays full of meat. He stoops down to get a good look at the rich red flesh. In his flat, Tony goes to the front door, doing up his trousers as he goes. He peers through the spy hole and opens the door. An attractive young woman with neat blonde hair is standing behind the iron gate.
Oh, hello. I live downstairs and I've cut my finger. I wondered if you had a plaster.
Tony stares at her.
Plaster?
Yeah, it's bleeding quite badly.
He takes his keys from his pocket and unlocks the gate.
Come through. Oh.
She walks in and he shuts the door.
Thanks.
Follow me.
Holding a tissue around her finger, she follows Tony into the living room. He quickly hides a magazine, some tissues, and a tub of Vaseline.
Take a seat.
She sits on the sofa.
Plaster.
Tony leaves the room and she holds her finger. Tony comes back in and takes the backing off a plaster. He hands it to the woman and she smiles. She puts the plaster on her finger.
Do you want a cup of tea or cold drink?
Cold drink?
Squash?
Yeah.
Tony goes and she puts the bloody tissue and the plastic wrapping on the table. Perched on the edge of the sofa, she looks around.
So do you live by yourself?
Yeah.
It must be lonely for you.
No. Well, sometimes.
You got any pets?
No, just me.
He hands her a glass of squash.
Thanks.
Tony stands staring at her for a moment, then quickly sits in an armchair. She has a drink and puts the glass on the coffee table.
Oh, that's better. So have you lived here long?
Yeah, ages.
Yeah, I have seen you around.
What's your name?
Dawn.
Tony.
Oh.
He shakes her hand.
Nice to meet you. So, what are you doing Sunday?
He looks blank, then frowns.
Nothing.
Do you like roast? Roast dinner?
I love roast.
Well, you're welcome to join me and Dave and the kids if you like. On Sunday, why don't you come down for lunch?
That might be nice.
Good.
Lovely.
Anything you don't like? Any vegetables? Or do you eat everything?
Tony smiles.
Brussels sprouts.
Oh, well, I'll make sure I don't have any of those.
Dawn smiles awkwardly and fiddles with her fingers. Tony's eyes rove. She looks down at her watch.
Oh, is that the time? I really need to go.
They both stand up.
There's a tenants' meeting. I need to get to it. Starts at 6:30.
Standing at the door, Dawn faces Tony. She has an open, pretty face and smiles often. Standing motionless, Tony nods as she talks animatedly. Dawn eyes Tony curiously for a moment. She smiles, thanks Tony for the plaster, and backs through the doorway. He steps out into the hallway and watches her leave.
Bye, Dom.
Tony stands stiffly in the hallway for a moment, then steps into the living room and flops into an armchair. He stares blankly and gently runs his fingertips over the arm of the chair. He whispers to himself.
Nice, nice lady.
Tony stands waiting in an interview room at the job centre. A man's on the phone.
Yeah, listen, can I phone you back? Something's come up. Yeah, is that all right, mate? Tony, yeah?
Tony stands staring at him.
Mike came in, just take a seat.
Tony slowly sits. The man checks his computer.
Just getting you. Just dragging you. So, Tony, you've been unemployed for 20-odd years now, and apart from a couple of weeks' work experience, you haven't done anything at all. 20 years. 20 years coming down to offices like this, listening to people like me carrying on and on, telling you to get a job, get a life.
Tony glances up.
Sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I really am.
I'm sorry for being late.
You're not late.
Thought I was late.
No, the problem isn't with you being late, Tony. The problem is you. What are we going to do with you?
What?
Well, according to our records, you've been on Job Seeker's Allowance forever, but you haven't actually,
He gets his mobile phone from his pocket, looks at it, and smiles. Tony watches with interest.
Oh, jeez. Listen, it's better for you to work, Tony. Yeah, you'll feel better with a nice little job and some money in your back pocket. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's a good idea, really. I'm quite happy how things are.
Oh, yeah, I know you probably are, but you're actually costing the taxpayer money when you could be a taxpayer yourself, no? Have you filled your book in?
What book?
Are you disabled in some way?
No. What have I done wrong?
You haven't done anything wrong or right for that matter, Tony. You're just incapable. So I can't see anything wrong with you maybe getting a job cleaning toilets, I don't know. Would you like that? You can meet people, no?
Tony half smiles.
I'm not sure, really.
Why not, Tony? I mean, what's wrong with you? No, I've got a job interview for you. Don't be late, because I will stop your money. Okay?
Tony stares at a form. Tony stands on a street looking at shelves of battered old shoes in a second-hand shop. There are some old chairs piled up outside. Tony goes into the shop, which is full of rails of clothes. He goes through some men's jackets and holds up a brown leather jacket to look at it. He stands in front of a convex mirror and holds a tie up against his shirt. He looks at a smart suit jacket. Tony goes to a shelving unit crammed with videotapes and selects a few. He walks across a busy street to Bronze and Go, a tanning salon. Inside, he sits on a leather sofa, wringing his hands. Behind a desk is a bloke wearing a colourful short-sleeved shirt. He has short brown hair and brown leathery skin.
You're from England?
Yeah.
Tom, you look Polish.
No, I'm English. I was born here.
Okay. Does type of work interest you?
No, not really. Well, I don't know.
Well, have you done anything since?
Yeah.
When then?
No, I...
You think you're up to it?
The man smiles.
Well, do you? I don't get it, mate. It's a pretty simple question.
Yeah, I think so. I think I could do it.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll start you on the truck. See how you feel.
Do I get paid? No.
It's a trial. You don't get paid for a trial.
He drinks a coffee. Tony gets up.
Where are you going? I ain't finished yet. Sit down.
The man gestures towards the leather sofa. Tony shuffles back to it and sits.
When can you start?
Not for a few weeks.
Tony stares blankly through his specs.
Why not? Got another job?
No, just got things to do. I'm quite busy at home at the moment.
Quite busy at home?
Yeah, very busy actually.
We're not getting anywhere with this, are we? How would you like me to make a phone call to the person who sent you down?
He holds up his fancy mobile phone, slides it open, and slowly raises it to his ear.
Hello? Mr. Hemmings? Yeah, I have Tony in front of me. Yeah, it seems he's bessing us both about. Seems he doesn't want a job, and he's wasting my precious time.
He puts the phone down, and Tony points at him.
Did you just speak to...
No, but I can if you want.
No, thank you.
Okay. Garrett 6. We'll get you kitted out. Okay?
What are the hours?
12 hours a day. Start at 6, finish at 2000 hours.
It's not 12 hours.
Do you read?
Fiesta. Has
bring a book.
Tony frowns and the manager raises his eyebrows.
Thanks, Tony.
He gestures towards the door. Tony gets the hint, gets up and goes. A grey tower block. Tony struggles along a street holding a large yellow signboard on a post. Printed on the signboard is Tanning Waxing Sunbeds, with an arrow pointing to the right at the bottom. He stands by a railing in Piccadilly Circus holding up the signboard. He wears black trousers, black coat, and a shirt and tie. He squints in the sunlight. Without his tie on, Tony walks through Soho. He goes into a porno shop, takes a porno mag off a shelf, and has a browse at the lovelies inside. Tony walks past a betting shop and goes through an entrance with "model" written above the doorway. He heads along a tall, narrow hallway and up some stairs. A kitchen with a balcony. Tony knocks on the door. A dumpy woman with short hair opens the door.
Come in, she'll be about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah, come.
I'll come back later.
Oh, come on.
Tony hesitates, then walks in. She gestures for him to sit. In the cramped kitchen, they both sit with their backs to a large window. They watch a small TV. Preoccupied, Tony looks down. She stares at the telly. Tony gets up.
Where are you going?
Come back later.
I told you she won't be long. Sit down.
He sits and they both stare at the telly.
She's ready for you now. I'm going.
Tony gets up.
Oi. No rough stuff, all right?
Outside a door, Tony smooths his slicked back hair. A pretty young woman with long fair hair opens up and lets him into a pokey bedroom with the curtains drawn. She wears a dressing gown over a nightie.
Price list.
Tony reads a handwritten price list on the wall. £20 sex, £30 sex oral, £40 two positions, £50 three positions, £50 sex and come on, £60 bubble bath, £60 shower and sex, £60 French maid sex, £60 fantasy play.
French maid sex,
darling.
Tony steps over to the girl who sits on the bed frowning. He stares down at her.
How much for a cuddle?
She smiles.
Are you joking?
Well, it's £20 the cheapest.
Yeah. And don't forget the lady.
The lady? I haven't got to do anything with her, have I?
Just a couple of quid.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
He looks at the list, then back at the girl.
What can you do for £5?
She stands up and faces him.
Don't waste time.
You've been busy. You had a lot of clients.
Yes.
Tony glances away, then turns to her sharply with an inquiring look.
How many hours do you do? Do you work a lot of hours?
He steps closer to her.
Have you been with any, like, blacks or Chinese men?
He turns away and presses his lips together.
It's a nice room. You've been living here long?
He reaches for her hair.
I like your hair clip. It's really nice.
Jill!
Oh, don't be like that. Just talking to
Jill!
Don't be like that.
Is there a problem?
No, I'm just
Come
talking
on, mate.
To her.
Listen what? To her, lad. She wants you out.
I've done nothing.
Shift.
I'm sorry.
Get out. Go on, clear up.
She leads him out. Tony walks briskly out onto the street, smoothing his hair back with his hand as he goes. He heads off through Soho. In East London, young Davy's mum, Lisa, is walking along by a parade of shops. She shows a photo to a young couple.
Excuse me, please. Randy, you haven't by any chance seen a little boy like that, have you? You haven't? No. Well, you've just walked through. Thank you very much. Thank you. You haven't seen a little boy like that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, round the corner, a bunch of kids play football. Might be one of them.
Right, thank you very much. Thank you.
Night. A bus passes in front of the Joiner's Arms. Inside, it's packed with young men. They dance under the low lights. Tony stands at the bar holding a drink. He taps his glass to the music and eyes up the talent. A young guy in a sleeveless t-shirt bobs up and down and pumps his fists to the music. He's a nice-looking guy in his 20s with a strong brow, deep-set eyes, short brown hair and sideburns. As he absently taps his glass, Tony stares at the guy. The guy notices Tony watching him. Tony finishes his drink and turns to the bar. In the toilet, Tony comes out of a cubicle. The young guy is sitting on the sink unit, casually leaning against the mirror. Tony acts like he hasn't seen him as he washes his hands. The guy stares at Tony intensely. Tony gives him a brief, nervous look. Tony stands at the sink and the guy smiles broadly.
Hello. You like my moves, son?
Tony stares at him.
You what? I said you like the way I dance. You couldn't keep your eyes off me. You're a good dancer. You want a drink? No, I'm all right, thank you. What's your name? Tony. That's a nice name. I'm Alex.
He holds up his hand. Tony wipes his on his jacket and shakes it.
You sure you don't want a drink? Or a bit of company? I'll have a Coke.
Alex hops off the sink unit and gestures for Tony to lead the way. In the bar, Tony fiddles with the straw in his bottle of Coke. As he has a sip, Alex leans to him and says something. He holds up a little bottle to Tony's nose. Tony sniffs and pulls away sharply. Tony frowns and wipes his nose with the back of his hand. He quizzes Alex. Alex leans to Tony, and the pair continue to try to chat over the music. The rest of the guys dance around them. Alex paces around in Tony's Spartan living room.
Stinks in here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the drains. Council are going to send someone down.
Alex sits.
Don't worry about it.
So I put some music on then?
Yeah. Have you got any trance?
Tony takes off his coat and Alex empties his pockets.
Trance?
Yeah. Dance music.
No. Might have some Queen or...
Right. Have a look.
Tony looks in a drawer.
Some tapes in here.
Well, don't worry about it, Tony.
I got a bit of Paul Young. No pie.
No, honest, don't worry about it. Just, have you got a drink?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm really thirsty.
What would you like to drink?
Got whiskey or vodka? Something nice and nice stiff one.
No, I might have a couple of beers left.
All right.
I'll get
Yeah, that'd do.
As Tony goes to look, Alex unwraps some cocaine.
You know, I don't think I've got any beer left. I ain't got any alcohol.
You're joking?
No.
Well, why didn't you say something? We could have stopped. You haven't got any drink?
No. Well, have we got time to go out and get something now?
Well, what have you got? Have you got anything at all?
Walter, I've got some squash. You want a glass of squash?
Yeah, I'll have an orange squash.
Yeah, orange squash.
Tony goes to the kitchen. Perched on the edge of the sofa, Alex lines up the Coke on the coffee table with a credit card. Tony returns with a big glass of orange squash and hands it to Alex.
Made it quite weak, is that all right?
Yeah, lovely. Thanks.
So, got music, do you want to watch a film? I've got plenty of films.
I don't want to watch a film.
What about make some food? I've got plenty of food.
I'm not hungry, Tony. I'm not hungry.
I've got fish fingers.
I'm not hungry, honestly. I'm not hungry at all.
Alex sits back and Tony sits in an armchair.
Why don't you come and sit over here?
No, I'm all right, really, thanks.
Alex snorts a line of coke.
Come sit over here. Come sit next to me. We'll have a little cuddle. Come on.
Tony doesn't look keen. He goes over and sits stiffly with his hands on his lap. Alex moves close and puts his arm around him.
It's nice.
Tony pushes his glasses up on his nose.
Nice trousers.
He caresses Tony's knee.
Just trousers. So did you go there a lot then, that club?
Yeah, every week.
Really?
Yeah, every week.
Every week?
Yeah.
You like dancing?
Yeah, I do.
Where are you from?
Wickford.
Wickford? Where's that? It's
Essex. I'm an Essex boy.
Tony frowns.
It's quite far then.
It's a bit of a schlep, yeah.
How do you get home late at night?
Well, I don't usually go home.
Where'd you go?
Well, I'm here tonight.
You weren't here last week.
Well,
where'd you go last week?
Somewhere else. Do you want to have a dance?
Put some music on.
Well, don't worry about the music. We can do it without the music. Come on, I'll show you. We have a little dance. You want to have a dance?
I can't dance.
It's just easy. Like, you saw me in the club. You know, I started out nice and I took my time, didn't I? Started out nice like that. Nice little...
He shimmies.
Sexy, then get a little bit harder.
He pumps his fists towards Tony and stamps his foot.
Neighbours.
What about the neighbours?
Wake them up.
Sorry. Well, come on. Get up with me.
I can't dance.
Come on, Tony. Come on, get up. Come on, let's... Oh, busy. That's nice. That's nice. Oh. Nice little shirt. Nice little collars. Do you wanna have sex?
What?
Should we fuck?
No. What are you doing?
You're a little prick tease, you are, aren't you?
No.
You
what?
Are, you are a no. little prick tease, yes, you are.
Don't pull my shirt out.
Yeah, no, come on, let's have a little bit of fun. Don't. Can do it here, stop. Or we can go in the bedroom.
Pulling my shirt.
Come on, Tony.
Pulling my shirt.
Tony shoves him.
Don't touch me. Leave me alone.
I like it, Ralph.
I think you better leave.
I like
leave.
A little
You
bit.
Better leave.
Come on.
Wait. Tony shuts himself in the bathroom.
I'll be in the bedroom then.
Alex goes to the bedroom and puts his jacket on the bed. The room is lit by the glare of the bare bulb in the lamp on the floor. Alex sits on the bed and flips through a file, which is full of prostitutes' calling cards. Alex takes off his t-shirt and looks at the wardrobe. He peers at one of the wardrobe doors, which is slightly ajar. He kneels down and pulls the door open. Lying in the bottom of the wardrobe is a severed hand. Alex tentatively reaches out and touches the hand. He recoils. Tony comes in and whacks him over the head with a hammer. Alex drops to the floor, twitching. Tony stares at him, his face impassive. He lifts the hammer sharply and hits Alex again. And again. A severed foot lies in the bathroom sink. The flesh is white and the roughly hewn stump is sinewy and crimson. Tony dozes, slumped in an armchair. Static rolls on the TV screen. A tall band of pale light filters through a gap in the orange curtains. Paul, the fat bloke from the pub, is walking through the estate with his mate Mick. They both have cans of beer.
Davey! Davey!
Mick and Paul approach an old man by a parade of shops.
Excuse me, mate, you ain't seen the bill for it. It's about 10. He's a ringer for me. You ain't seen him walking around here, have you?
Yeah.
You seen anyone?
No, no.
Mate, you keep your eyes open for us, will you, mate?
Okay.
All right, then tell him his dad's looking for him. Right, mate, excuse me, mate, you ain't seen a little boy. He's about 10, he's about that high, but he looks like me. You ain't seen him, have you? Excuse me, you ain't seen a little boy, he's about 10, he looks like me. Mooching about here, have you?
No, no.
Well, tell him his dad's looking for him, will you?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot, love, cheers. Davey!
Tony's walking along by the shop, some way ahead of Mick and Paul.
Oi, oi, oi! Stop there. Got a nonce from the boozer, haven't you? Oh, fucking look at me like, you know what I'm talking about. You see my Davey?
No.
What, you getting a semi on because I said his fucking name, have you?
If you lose it here, you're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, I'm fucking in for what?
Leave it, Paul, he's armless, fuck up.
Don't touch me, Mick. Come on, let's go and find him. Hey, fucking nonce.
Let's go and find him round here.
Come on.
As Mick drags Paul away, Paul spits on Tony. Tony lies in the pile of rubbish sacks where Paul shoved him. A little wiry bloke in a baseball cap wanders over and helps Tony get up. The little bloke looks concerned. Tony tries to compose himself, smoothing his hair back with his hand. He gives a little wave and walks off down the street, glancing back as he goes. A man peers out of his grocery shop to see what's going on. At his block of flats, Tony stands in the dimly lit lift with his head bowed. The door slides shut. In his bathroom, Tony stands facing a mirror, breathing heavily. He takes off his glasses and stares at himself.
I'm not a criminal. I'm a soldier. And I deserve to die like a soldier. You're not a soldier. You're a fly. On a pile of shit.
He runs his hand over his hair, bows his head, and leans his forehead against the mirror. Paul, a massive bloke with a cannonball head and a crew cut, barges his way into the lift and presses a button. The door closes. He leans against the wall and rests his hand against his head. Upstairs, he goes up to Tony's front door and knocks. Paul squats down, pulls open the letterbox and peers through.
Open the door. I can see you in there. Open the door.
Tony opens the door and stands in the shadows. Paul straightens up and leans against the gate.
I'm sorry. You see my son? Davey, are you in there, son? Davey! You got my fucking son. No. I ain't got your son.
I'm sorry.
I'll call the police. Don't call the police. Do you know where he is? He's not even 11 yet.
Paul holds a cosh behind his back.
Come in.
No, I ain't got him. You better go home.
Paul steps away.
I'll call police.
I'm coming back.
Paul wanders off. Morning. A few lights are on in the block of flats. Tony goes to his front door in his stripy dressing gown over trousers and a t-shirt. He peers through the spy hole for a moment, then opens the door. Behind the security gate is a smart young man wearing suit trousers, a shirt and tie. He's holding a clipboard.
Charlie Benson?
Tony stares at him.
Mr. Benson, Kevin Phillips. Do you mind if I just come in for a moment?
Kevin holds up the name badge on his shirt. Tony unlocks the gate and lets him in. In the living room, Kevin points at the telly.
Do you have a license for the television?
He has a pen poised over his clipboard.
Don't think so.
Have you ever purchased a license for the television?
No.
In which case, sir, I must issue you a caution on the 1949 Wireless Telegraphy Act. You do not have to say anything, but anything you do say can and will be used in evidence against you in a court of law. Okay. Do you have satellite or cable?
Tony's eyes rove and he walks out of the room. Kevin furrows his brow and examines the small television which sits on a wood-effect MDF unit. The video recorder is on a shelf below. Kevin makes notes and closes his clipboard. He turns to Tony, who's come back in holding a length of electrical cable with a plug on it.
Right, sir.
He sees the cable.
No, that's fine. If you can just sign here, just there. Basically just says I've asked you the appropriate questions, you've answered them. Sign there, and then that's me. You'll be issued with a court summons in the next 7 to 14 days, and that'll explain everything.
He points with the pen.
Just there.
Tony stares at the form and fiddles with the white cable in his hand. He sits on the sofa, and Kevin holds out the form to him.
Just there. Thank you.
You don't put any good films on telly. I only watch videos.
Tony stares at Kevin, who closes his clipboard.
Okay, sir, you've left me no choice. I'm now going to confiscate your television set, sir. I'll issue you with a receipt, and then you'll be informed in the next day or so of the appropriate measures and steps of what to take next.
As Kevin unplugs the TV, Tony steps over, wraps the cable around his neck and pulls tight. Kevin tries to reach up, but Tony keeps bent over him with the cable tight around his neck. They both fall backwards.
Jesus!
Tony keeps a tight grip on Kevin, whose legs and arms flail. Kevin slaps a chest of drawers. Kevin's arm flails back and forth robotically. His movement slows as the life drains out of him. Tony's wrapped around him in a ball on the floor. Kevin twitches and goes limp. Tony tries to sit up and pull himself free of Kevin, whose arm is wrapped around him. Tony shoves Kevin's lifeless body over onto its front. Kneeling, Tony leans against the chest of drawers for a moment, then stands up. Kevin lies dead next to the telly. Tony paces back and forth, then goes and reaches behind the TV. He reconnects the cables. Tony wanders over to the sofa and sits straight-backed. His chest heaves as he breathes heavily. From outside, residents in their flats are framed by the grimy concrete structure. In his bathroom, Tony stands bent over the bath, chopping something with a knife. He straightens up and puts a severed leg in a plastic bag on the floor. Tony wraps up the leg. He reaches into the bath and picks up part of an arm. He puts that in the bag with the leg.
Fucking...
Tony shakes the body parts to the bottom of the bag, then picks up a bag of cat litter. Tony pours cat litter over the body parts in the bag, picks it up, and gives it a shake. He rinses knives in the sink. Tony washes his hands with bleach. He wipes the sink, then rinses the bath with the shower hose.
Fucking speak back to me, I'm fucking not.
A casually dressed man with short receding hair and stubble is standing outside Tony's front door. As Tony opens the door, the man holds up ID.
Detective Dave Reynolds, CID. Can I come in, please?
Tony unlocks the security gate. Tony pushes the gate open.
You don't mind if I come in, do you?
No, I don't mind.
Dave walks in.
Front room's last door on your right.
Tony follows Dave a little way behind. Dave wears jeans, a green top, and a leather jacket. He goes into the living room and looks around for a moment. Tony stands watching in the doorway. Dave sits in an armchair. Tony stands staring at him.
Do you want a cup of tea?
No.
Tony stands still with a gormless expression on his face. He wears a white shirt done up to the top and dark trousers. Dave takes out a notebook and pen.
Name?
Tony.
Full name?
Benson.
No middle name? No, neither have I.
Dave puts the notebook and pen in his inside jacket pocket.
You lived here long, Tony?
Yeah.
How long?
Ages.
Well, years will do.
10 years.
Did you go to work?
I've been for a job interview. Put me on a trial basis.
Oh, right. Well done. I suspect you have a lot of time on your own. Walk around, if you know what I mean.
Walking where?
Looking around, observing.
Tony raises his eyebrows.
Have you noticed anything over the last couple of days?
Like what?
That's what I'm asking you.
Dave gets up and stands facing Tony, his brow is pinched. Dave is slightly taller than Tony.
Now.
Dave eyeballs Tony.
A little boy's gone missing. The last time he was spotted was around this part of the estate on Tuesday. Surely you've seen all the forensics, all the commotion and so forth. And you've just told me you was observant.
Tony swallows.
Well, I did wonder. I don't like to ask questions, I just thought... filming or something. Oh,
you did wonder.
Tony nods.
Where was you on that night?
Tony frowns and looks from side to side.
Tuesday.
Yeah, fucking Tuesday, you heard me!
Tony gulps and his eyes widen.
I was watching Gary Busey and Hyder in the House. It's a good film, have you seen it?
Dave shakes his head.
Then what'd you do?
Tony's lips move as he searches for the words.
I had a bath and then went to bed. What is that? What?
There's a terrible smell in here. What is that?
Oh, drains. Council meant to send someone down to...
Drains? Council?
Yeah.
Dave smiles cockily.
You won't mind if I go and have a look around then, will you?
The drains?
Yeah.
No, I don't mind.
Dave backs away. Tony watches Dave as he goes to have a look around. Tony anxiously looks down at the coffee table. Next to the tub of Vaseline is a potato peeler with a wooden handle and a stubby, pointed blade. Brow furrowed, Tony's frozen to the spot, staring at the potato peeler. Tony listens intently.
Reynolds! Whoa. Speak slower. Can't understand you. Right. But where was he? I'll be there in a minute.
Tony looks out of his window at the car park down below. Two police cars drive up and park. A crowd has gathered. They applaud as an officer escorts young Davy away from one of the cars. Evening. Tony stands by the river looking across at the Isle of Dogs. At the bottom of some steps, he hurls three blue carrier bags into the murky water. Tony watches the blue bags bob about in the turbulent water, then makes his way back up the steps. Tony walks off along by the river with his hands in his pockets. Tony walks through an arcade in the West End. Tony walks through town. He heads past the bright lights of Piccadilly Circus. Floodlights illuminate grand buildings. Tony stares up at enormous animated neon hoardings. Tony walks on through the night past Trafalgar Square. Tony passes the gaudy bright red facade of an Aberdeen steakhouse. In darkness, Tony stands on the north bank of the Thames. He looks across the river towards the brightly lit Millennium Wheel. Tony. ITFC audio description by Matthew Vickers. Tony goes to an amusement arcade. He walks on through town. Written and directed by Gerard Johnson. Produced by Dan McCulloch. Co-producer, Kirsty Edgar. Tony walks through an ornate gateway in Chinatown. Executive producer, Paul Abbott. Cinematographer, David Higgs. Editor, Ian Davies. Original soundtrack by The. Costume designer, Susie Harmon. Production designer, Naomi Reed. Tony heads through the narrow, brightly lit streets of Soho, where a couple of policemen are questioning young lads. Hair and makeup designer, Anna Cash. Sound mixer, Tom Barrow. Supervising sound editor, Jovan Ajda. Tony passes a sex shop and looks around wide-eyed. He walks on through the night. For Mum and Eugene. Peter Ferdinando as Tony. Cast in order of appearance: DVD seller, Greg Cam; Davy's dad, Ricky Grover; Davy's mum, Kerri-Ann White. Pub regulars: Eddie Johnson, Mike Johnson; publican, Frank Boyce; boy Davy, Sam Kempster; Mackie, George Russo; Smudger, Francis Pope, Drug Takers, Neil Large, Rob Seth Smith. Dealer, Cyrus Dizier. Dawn, Vicky Murdoch. Mike Hemmings, Neil Maskell. Man in Porno Shop, Ish. Sunbed Shop Owner, Mark Mooney. Madam, Jill Keane. Prostitute, Lucy Flack. Alex, Lorenzo Camperese. TV License Inspector, Ian Kilgannon. Police Inspector, Ian Groombridge. Corpse in Lounge, Callum Madge. Corpse in Bed, Adrian Walker. Special thanks, Lee Vassell, Kieran Bryant, Frank McCauley, Huggy Lever, Ella and Sophie Higgs. Hilary Bevan-Jones, Ronaldo Vasconcelos, Peter Bateson, Adam Young, Anton Jeffers, David White. Camille Gattin, Alex Ganley, Greg Thomas, David Campbell, Terry O'Neill, David, and all at the Joiner's Arms. The logos for Technicolor, Blinkhorns, Fujifilm, Loudhailer, 142 Ascent. Soundtrack composed by Matt Johnson, published by Lazarus, recorded by Matt Johnson at Studio Cineola, mixed by Finn Eels at The Garden Studios. Film clips of The Hunted supplied courtesy of Media Asia Distribution. The events depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is merely coincidental. Abbott Vision, made with the support of the UK Film Council's New Cinema Fund. UK Film Council, lottery funded. Tony. Copyright, Tony Pictures, 2009. All rights reserved.